You're listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perrell. For some, a new year always brings resolutions for what we hope to accomplish, and lately more people are relying on astrology to help them through their decisions and goals. A recent survey by the Pew Research Center found that 37% of women and about 20% of men say they believe in astrology, with the highest numbers among people between the ages of 18 and 49. It's becoming a lucrative business as well. Americans spent an estimated over $2 billion on the mystical services market in 2018. Astrology has been known to surge during times of stress, and the jump in popularity should come as no surprise to people tuned into the daily news cycle. But how do we use that curiosity to actually help us make better decisions? Chani Nicholas is a professional astrologer and author of the book You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, you've said astrology is the perfect content for memes, and that's why it's so popular. What do you mean by that?
Well, so I think it's one of the reasons why it's proliferated so much on the internet, because memes are this really, really quite incredible artistic modality wherein which we're talking about the human condition. We're talking about archetypal experiences with a snapshot of something. So that snapshot can be as ugly and as basic and as pixeled as it can be and still speak to something in the human condition. And astrological signs also do that. And so they've been well used and poorly used to talk about human behavior through the lens of astrological signs.
It had another moment in the 1970s when the baby boomers, you know, jumped into what was called the new age. Why do you think the Gen Z population and millennials have locked in now with astrology?
Well, I think if we look at what the boomers were about and what folks were facing then and what Gen Z and millennials are facing now, they're not exactly the same, but there are similarities. And the similarities are about a structure of society that's ripping apart to show a new reality or a deeper truth. I think in the 60s and 70s, of course, there was a lot of the fabric of society, especially in North America, kind of unraveling and being like, the Vietnam War is a scam and don't believe the government. And a lot of this is a hoax. And we've been asked to conform at the cost of our soul. And so there was a huge backlash to that. And now I think what, you know, millennials and Gen Z are growing into is a world that's incredibly unstable and obviously unfair. And because of the democratization of information, there are all the stats and all the statistics and all the videos to show that. And so, again, I think we're seeing generations push up against cultural norms and things that would have our fears assuaged and saying, like, no, actually, these are my debts and this is the possibility and this is the state of the climate and this is real. And so what is going to give my life meaning and purpose and what am I supposed to do here?
Astrology has been frequently referred to as a pseudoscience. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't care, really, mostly. Mm-hmm. If you sit down with 12 different astrologers and give them the exact same chart, they're going to say roughly the same thing. And so there's a way in which we're utilizing the data to give us specific results. It's like there's a system here, and I think it has intelligence to it, and it's lasted for thousands of years. And so I wrote a book trying to help people access that system in a way that felt digestible and relatable.
How did it come into your life, astrology? How did you start with all this?
Yeah, well, I had a really alternative upbringing. I grew up in British Columbia in a small town that was quite radical in and of itself. And so things like astrology were floating around in the air for me. And I had my first reading when I was 12 years old. And the astrologer started speaking to me, and I felt like I knew what she was talking about, or I was really intrigued by what she was saying. And she had written a book, and that was my first book, and I've never stopped learning.
You know, your work seems to have a particular resonance with some people because it accounts for identity and social location. How did you make those connections?
Well, you know, I'm a queer person. I am a person who's interested in the conditions that humans live in. I'm interested in how systems of justice and injustice work and how they impact us and how we are different. I think it's really important to understand how our identities locate us in different ways in the world. And so that's the lens through which I'm interested in looking at human experience.
Your book is all about harnessing astrology for something called radical self-acceptance. What does that mean?
I think when we are able to radically accept who we are, we're much more prone to working on the things that we need to work on and also utilizing the gifts and skills that we have. And so I wanted to write a book that would help people access the wisdom of their chart so that they could more quickly allow themselves and align with living out their purpose, and so that we could all be, again, more quickly of service to the world, because I do believe that the world needs each one of us to be doing our jobs in the ways that we can.
All right. Can you give me an example anyway, yeah, of how that might work?
So for me, one of the big components of my chart that I missed for a really long time, and I talk about this in the book, is that a really important planet for me is in the third house of writing and communication. And I knew that I wanted to do astrology and I always loved writing, but I didn't ever think that writing would be a way that I could make money and facilitate a living. And so I really shunned that and pushed that away for a long time. And when I finally understood the symbolism of it and that that was a key to living out my life as my chart told me, I gave into it, and very shortly after, my career started to flourish and pick up, and I found all kinds of amazing things through it. Writing really has given me my life in so many incredible ways. It's connected me to dozens of communities, thousands of people. I wouldn't be where I am without it. And it was that moment of me giving myself permission to write that changed everything.
Looking forward into this new year, how can astrology be used to improve our lives, do you think?
Well, I think by, reading my book, I'm kidding, but I'm not. So finding authors, finding thinkers, finding people who, astrologers that you resonate with, and developing a relationship with your chart, which is why I wrote the book. I wanted to give people the tools and the access. I wanted to demystify it and also interrupt the system of having to go always to an astrologer to get information about your chart that you need. That's always important, but you can learn a lot on your own. And so I wanted to give an up-to-date kind of manual on your chart so that you could have that relationship with it. And then, always find an astrologer to give you a reading, someone that you trust, someone that has a really great standing in their community, somebody who you resonate with. It's all about finding the people that you resonate with that are going to test you in the right ways, push you in the right ways, and also affirm you in the ways that it's hard for you to do so for yourself.
Chandi Nicholas is an LA-based astrologer and author of the book, You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me.